So, a devotee who has a great establishment or a factory may offer the fruits of such a material possession for the service of the Lord.
Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Mithamshtra Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we continue to study the 64 limbs of devotional service. And last week we were discussing about Atmanivedan, offering favorite articles, and performing all endeavors for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains about all endeavor for Krishna. One is prescribed in the Shastra and also one is one's own occupational duty. According to practical situation, one is prescribed in the Shastra and one is one's occupational duty. And both the results can be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And next item, Srila Rupa Goswami speaks about Sharanagati. Last week we discussed about surrender and the difference between Atmanivedanam and Sharanagati is that it is explained by the Acharyas. In Atmanivedanam, devotee offers his own self or he offers his body to Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Atmanivedanam, a devotee thinks, my dear Lord, that because of my own karma, I have acquired different kind of bodies. And this perverted I, because as long as one has a material body, that is not proper I. So this body is perverted. So therefore, Even though it is perverted, I want to offer it in your service. Means Atma Nivedana means whatever a devotee has in his possession, either his own self, his mind, and also his body, he offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Best example is Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is the sign of Sharanagati or Atma Nivedanam. He offered everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, including his own head, including his own body in the service of the Supreme Lord. And what is the difference between Atma Nivedanam and Sharanagati? In Sharanagati, one takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Atma Nivedanam, one offers everything to the Lord, but in Sharanagati, one takes complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his body, mind and words. He has no doubt in regards to Krishna's protection. In fact, even something goes wrong in his life, that also he sees as part of Krishna's plan. He has complete conviction that Krishna is orchestrating my life. So therefore, both are very important. Sharanagati and Atma Nivedanam. And Rupa Goswami quotes that anyone who prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and takes shelter of Krishna, then protection is guaranteed. In fact, this is the call of the Supreme Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masucha. That give up all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. That means giving up everything what he has and then taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the protection is there. The assurance is there. So that is the subtle difference between Atma Nivedanam and Sharanagati. And Srila Prabhupada explains, transcendental bliss can only be experienced by a devotee who makes this endeavor to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we experience that, then we do not have the conviction in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we take that step, or let me experience the intervention of Krishna. And that comes by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Miracles take place for those devotees, those they actually surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Rupa Goswami next explains about serving Mother Tulsi. How important is to serve Tulsi Maharani. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in his Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the law book for 10,000 years, he talks about one of his disciples, Govindadasa, taking care of the Tulsi. He writes about it. That's how service of Tulsi Maharani is important. And Srila Prabhupada explains, even in the families of non-Vaishnavas, in Hindu family, you will find always there is a Tulsi plant. Consciously or unconsciously, everybody has gone through, especially those who are living in small towns, villages, right in the house, right in front of the house, there has to be a Tulsi. And every day you have to go and offer some water, circumambulate Tulsi. Because simply by being in touch with Tulsi Maharani, one becomes spiritually surcharged. Therefore, Rupa Goswami quotes from different scripture, Drishta, that if you see Tulsi, then you get benefited. Sprishta, by touching Tulsi, all have got the same results. Dhyata, if somebody remembers about Tulsi Maharani, he also gets the benefit. Kirtita, and one who glorifies about Tulsi Maharani. In fact, glorification of Tulsi Maharani is so important, because one politician, he criticized Vaishnavas, saying that what is the use of growing Tulsi? Rather than growing Tulsi, grow bangan, brinjal. At least people can eat it. That means people only think about eating, sleeping. Even though you are so-called religious figure, he was still thinking about filling the belly. He said, what is the use of growing Tulsi? only seeing from a very gross platform. Tulsi, of course, Tulsi has got so much of medical utility, but Vaishnavas don't think Tulsi from that point of view. Tulsi can award us freedom from birth and death. No more birth, no more disease, no more death. Just by seeing her, by glorifying her, by touching her, Namita, by offering obeisances to Tulsi Maharani, Stutita, offering prayers to Mother Tulsi, Ropita, by planting Tulsi Maharani, and Sevita, and serving Tulsi Maharani, and ultimately offering puja to Tulsi Maharani. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, within our society, he made this policy that every morning and evening, all over ISKCON temple, wherever there is temple, that Tulsi Aarti morning and evening is very compulsory. Because she is a pure devotee of the Lord. By offering prayers to her, by worshipping her, one gets the benefit. And what does she can award? As the prayer goes, that Tulsi Maharani can award us eternal residence in the land of Vrindavan. In fact, Vrindavan is nothing but the forest of Tulsi. Therefore, it is one of the limbs of devotional service. And Prabhupada explains that the Western devotees, when they took up to Krishna consciousness, in some parts of the West, Tulsi cannot grow. But devotees would take Tulsi plant from India and create proper environment so that they could grow Tulsi Maharani. And that is recommended in the Shastra. Even though apparently it may appear that why you are spending so much of time and energy to grow some plant which does not bear any fruits. Again, that's a mundane vision. Everything has to be seen from the spiritual perspective. And that is a recommendation in the Shastra to plant Tulsi, to offer worship to Tulsi, to see Tulsi, to touch Tulsi, to sing about Tulsi is so important, which will give us devotional ecstasy. And then Srila Prabhupada, as we discussed before, there are four waves in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Eastern Division. First wave talks about the general characteristics of devotional service. Second wave talks about sadhana bhakti. Third wave talks about bhava bhakti. And fourth wave of Eastern Division talks about prema bhakti. We are studying sadhana bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada, in his Nectar of Devotion, he has subdivided the second wave of sadhana bhakti into almost 16 chapters. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the wave continues, but Prabhupada stops and further divides as another chapter. So in the 12th chapter, Srila Prabhupada talks about hearing revealed scriptures, studying the Shastra. How important it is to study the Vedic literature. And what are the Shastras? Shastra is defined as any book or department of knowledge which concludes about devotional service is called as Shastra or Darshan. In fact, one Vaishnava Acharya explains, there is no difference between, in one sense there is no difference, we call Sudarshan, it's a chakra, it's Lord's ultimate weapon. So Shastra and Shastra, they have the same root. So similarly, when Sudarshan chakra is released by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what do you see? You see Krishna behind that Sudarshan chakra. So similarly, when Darshan Shastra or the Bhakti literatures, when we read them, what is the conclusion? The conclusion is that one can see Krishna in the revealed scriptures. Shastras are not meant to be speculated and used for our own end. Just like that famous story is there in the Mahabharata. Ashwatthama, it's a favorite story. It shows how one can utilize the energy of the Lord for a wrong purpose. So Ashwatthama, when he came to Krishna one time, and he said, "My dear Lord, let us exchange. I have my Sudarshan chakra, and you have your Brahmastra. I have my Brahmastra and you have your Sudarshan Chakra. You take my Brahmastra and you give me your Sudarshan Chakra. Krishna said there is no need. I will just give my Brahmastra, Sudarshan Chakra to you. So when Krishna released this Sudarshan Chakra, it is explained that Ashwatthama tried to grab that Sudarshan Chakra, but he could not. And then he said, okay, my dear Lord, I don't want, I'm going back. Then Krishna asked him, okay, before you go, what was the purpose you wanted Sudarshan Chakra? And then Ashwatthama shamelessly told, with the same Sudarshan Chakra, I wanted to cut off your head. So taking Krishna's energy and trying to kill Krishna. Similarly, we see that even though one may have access to all these scriptures, but then he concludes wrongly. If he kills Krishna by saying that Krishna does not exist, that is, he is as bad as Ashwatthama. He is taking darshan of the Lord, all the philosophy, all the shastras, and trying to kill Krishna. One time in Gita Sammelan, Prabhupada was invited. It was Gita Sammelan, and when Prabhupada came there, he saw that there was a big light, lamp was lit, and there was also a picture of lamp. And Prabhupada said, where is Krishna's picture here? Because Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And the organizer said, Swamiji, we are not interested in Krishna, we are only interested in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, that is demoniac. He said, what is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is to surrender to Krishna. He said, this is demoniac, because you want Krishna's energy, but not Krishna. One time in New York City, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu writes, in Endless Love, that there was a yoga club. They had organized yoga shibir, and they are putting up all their posters all over New York City, and unfortunately they came right opposite to the temple. The poster was there, and the poster was saying that Krishna meditated and became God, love divine. Buddha meditated and became God, enlightened divine. Jesus meditated, became God, forgiven divine. And you meditate and become God. That was the poster they had put up. So some devotees went to challenge them. And when they are about to challenge, one girl got up and she was reading the poem. She said, my Krishna is not black, he is golden. And my mind makes him black. What does it mean? That means Krishna is gold, means he is impersonal, shining. Brahma Jyoti is very brilliant. And black means giving form, giving name, giving qualities. All these things are created by my mind. So therefore Krishna is black. So we read about Krishna from the scripture and destroy Krishna. Therefore in the introduction to Mahabharata, Vyasadev, he speaks about this. He says, reading of the Shastra, performing austerities, earning livelihood, it will create purity of the heart when it is done with right intention. But when the intentions are wrong, then the reading of the Shastra, performing tapasya, earning livelihood becomes great contamination. So therefore, Rupa Goswami defines Shastra as what? Shastra means it has to give a conclusion as devotional service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya. What does Madhvacharya say? All the scriptures, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Purana, Upanishads, all the scriptures, they are only talking about Lord Krishna in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. So therefore they are considered as scriptures. And any book which does not talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then those scriptures, even though they are compiled very nicely, they are not accepted. Tadvag visarga janataga viplava yasmin pratishloka buddhavattapi namani anantasya shankintanityan shanvanti gayanti grananti sadhava. Even such literature compiled wrongly, but because there is a glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such literatures will be accepted by the saintly people. On the other hand, tadvagvayasa tirtham ushanti manasa. But on the other hand, those literatures which do not talk and establish the ultimate conclusion of devotional service, even though they are compiled very nicely, they are not scriptures. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, Vedic literature and any book which is in pursuance of the conclusion of Shastra should be considered as Shastra. Sometimes we see, people ask this question, do you have original Bhagavad Gita what Krishna spoke to Arjun? That original one. Even if we get one original Bhagavad Gita, what will you understand? Even if there is an original Bhagavad Gita, you will not understand anything. Even big commentators, when they try to understand Bhagavad Gita, they cannot understand. Why they cannot understand? Because Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood by a non-devotee. Only a devotee can understand. Therefore, asking original Bhagavad Gita, there is no original. Whatever is there, it is original, and that original knowledge is revealed when we serve and perform devotional service to the pure devotee. Then only the Shastras can give us proper understanding. And therefore Rupa Goswami explains that a person constantly engaged in reading literature enunciating devotional service. Again, it has to be speaking about devotional service. When such scripture is read, then such devotee's devotional service becomes very glorious. And then Rupa Goswami explains that one who performs devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or one who writes Vaishnava literature and then he keeps in his home, such person goes back to the spiritual world very quickly. That is the power of reading Vedic literature. Therefore, bhakti involves reading Vedic literature also, especially the devotional literature. Therefore, in the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, anyone who studies the Vedic literature, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, is performing, is worshipping with his intelligence. Intelligence can only be purified when we read the Shastras. Shastra has the potency to cut off all our ignorance. Again, Shastra and Shastra has the same activity. Shastra is there to cut off, and Shastra is also there to cut off our ignorance. Therefore, very important limb of devotional service is to read. And when Prabhupada would always see, he would hear the complaint that devotees don't read. So one time he made this, you know, exclamation. He said, austerity means to read my books for 6 hours. That is real austerity. And that is a major complaint that nobody or major number of devotees, they don't read books. And because they don't read books, therefore the understanding of the bhakti conclusion is not properly established. Therefore, reading under the guidance of an able teacher is very important to understand what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, Rupa Goswami puts this as one of the limbs of devotional service. And then next, Rupa Goswami speaks about residing in Mathura. One who wants to advance in spiritual life, Rupa Goswami explains that simply meditating upon living in Mathura, he gets the benefit of being in Mathura. And whatever holy places you visit, all the holy places in all over the world, visiting all these holy places, you will not get the benefit as much as simply just putting one step in the land of Mathura. He becomes fit candidate to go back to the spiritual world. And Rupa Goswami explains, simply by thinking about Mathura, simply by glorifying Mathura, not even being in Mathura, one gets the benefit of being in Mathura. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he was told by some of his friends, he said, Swamiji, now you are very old, why you give up Vrindavan? You just stay in Vrindavan, don't travel, because you might give up your body. And Prabhupada said, I don't have these sentiments. He said, if I die in New York City, in those time ISKCON had this huge building. He said, please bury me on the roof of our building, since there is no place in New York. I think our Sarvam Prabhu wrote a very beautiful article in BTG about departing in the holy land of Vrindavan and departing outside Vrindavan. So the conclusion is that one whose consciousness is in Vrindavan and is glorifying Vrindavan, there is no difference between being in Vrindavan or thinking about Vrindavan. And that's what Rupa Goswami explains. That one may not get to stay in Vrindavan, but simply by remembering, one gets the same facility of being in Mathura. That is one of the limbs of devotional service. And if people have the facilities to visit Mathura Dham, then they should go and visit Mathura Dham and get the benefit of attaining spiritual perfection. Next, Rupa Goswami talks about rendering service to the Vaishnavas. Again, a very important principle. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he summarized all these 64 items into three things. In conclusion, one is chanting the names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That is called as Namaruchi. That is the first principle. Second principle, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talked about Vaishnava Seva, rendering service to the Vaishnavas. And third principle, he spoke about Jiva Daya, being compassionate to conditioned souls. These are the main three principles which Vaishnava has to follow to develop as a Vaishnava and to develop ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In one sense, all these 64 items are expansion of these three items. So here therefore Rupa Goswami explains, one of the item of devotional service is to rendering service to devotees. Unless one performs devotional service or renders service to a Vaishnava, he cannot understand the conclusion of the scripture. It is not possible. Therefore, all the verses quoted by Rupa Goswami, they are some of the most important verses from different scriptures. And the first verse he quotes, which is spoken by Lord Shiva to Mother Parvati or Sati. What does he say? Sometime there are controversies amongst those who are less informed. Who is the Supreme Lord? Either it is Krishna, or either it is Lord Shiva, either Vishnu or Lord Shiva. But in them there is no such contradiction. Both, either Lord and his devotee, they are competing to serve each other. And here Lord Shiva is explaining to Mother Sati, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. That my dear Sati, that what is highest worship? Worship of Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu is the highest. That is the first conclusion. But then next he says, Tasmat Parataram Dedi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tasmat, but greater than that is the worship of his devotee. That is very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, whenever somebody would come to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would ask them, they would say, Swamiji, we want to talk to you. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, he would ask them question, are you devotee of Krishna or are you devotee of Krishna's devotee? And if they would say that, I am only devotee of Krishna, then he would say, I have no time to talk to you. But if they would say that, no, no, I am a devotee of Krishna's devotee, then he would give all time. Because unless one renders service to a pure devotee of the Lord, or any devotee for that matter, sometime there is Again, this misunderstanding. Oh, we can only serve the pure devotees. Since there are no pure devotees, then you offend. Sometimes people make this comment. Even though you offend devotees, just see there is nothing, I am not, there is no reaction. That means there are no real devotees. Because if you offend a devotee, there should be a reaction. Just like Gopal Chappal, he offended Srila Haridas Thakur. Immediately his nose melted. Why is that my nose is not melting? That means the person whom I am offending is not a devotee. It's a great risk involved. Krishna is melting it subtly, not grossly. He loses the propensity to perform devotional service. So therefore, here we see that in Vaishnava principle, we are not after establishing, Krishna is greater or his devotee is greater. Because from Krishna's point of view, he says my devotees are greater. And from devotee's point of view, Krishna is greater. There is a constant competition. Therefore, one Vaishnava Acharya was saying, one there was a conference amongst many, many people. They wanted to know who is greater. Somebody said, the sky is the vast, it is the biggest, therefore we should worship sky. And somebody said, no, sky is not greater. The cloud covers the sky. And therefore the cloud is greater. But another muni said, no, cloud is not greater. Wind is greater. Why? Because wind blows away the cloud. But somebody else said, even the wind blows away the cloud, but when the wind faces the mountain, it cannot do anything to the mountain. Therefore the mountain is greater. But some other muni said, no, mountain is not greater. Who is holding the mountain? Earth is holding the mountain. Therefore earth is greater. But somebody said, who is holding the earth? All the planets are in the surface because there is the energy of the Lord. Actually, God is holding the mountain. Therefore, God is greater. So the conclusion was God is greater. But then God came himself. He said, who is holding me? I am being captured in the heart of my devotee. Therefore, my devotee, who can hold all the universes, I am holding all the universes, but who is holding me? My devotee is holding me. Therefore, this was the conclusion of the Lord, that my devotee is greater than me. He is more powerful. So therefore, here Lord Shiva, he establishes Krishna's supremacy from the technical point of view, but from the devotional point of view, he is saying that worship of Lord Vishnu's devotee is much greater. And that gives satisfaction to Mother Sati. Why? Because she knows that Lord Shiva is the greatest of the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rupa Goswami quotes this. One who renders service to the devotee of the Lord, what happens to him? By rendering service to such a devotee of the Lord, Lord who is the enemy of Madhudvisha. Madhudvisha means Madhu demon. Krishna is enemy. And Prabhupada very beautifully says there, what is the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna is the enemy of the miseries of his devotees. Very nice point. Krishna is the enemy of the miseries of his devotees. That means anyone who renders service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead's devotees, then is freed from all kinds of miseries. Krishna gives that protection. He is freed from the misery. We have discussed this point many, many classes back, that how Krishna frees us from the material misery. Here, Rupa Goswami says, he specifically talks about material miseries. He is not talking about spiritual misery. He talks about material misery. How is that? By rendering service to Vaishnava, one is freed from material miseries. The example is there. Many examples are there. On a grass platform, one's miseries may not be eradicated. But the bliss of serving a Vaishnava is so great, he does not feel that misery. Rupa Goswami gives example in the beginning, that if there is a volcano in the ocean, it does not harm anyone. What can volcano do anything when there is? It's an ocean. If it is on the land, it can create great disaster. But if it is in the ocean, it cannot do any harm because there is abundant water. Therefore, volcano cannot do any harm on the ocean. Similarly, material misery is there. But when one experiences bliss of associating with devotees, it's like an ocean of bliss. In that bliss, the miseries become insignificant. In fact, he does not give attention to that misery. Therefore, one of the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a grihastha disciple, and he was experiencing great pain in his life. He had no issue. He was suffering so much. Then by the grace of the Lord, he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he offered everything in the service of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all his wealth. And because of his money, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur constructed that Bagh Bazar temple. And by offering everything to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote a very beautiful poem. He said, "My dear Gurudev, by offering what belongs to you, I became yours. I have nothing in possession, but by offering what belongs to you, I became yours." And with great bliss, he gave up his body in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established his deity in the temple complex. He had all the money, all the wealth, and still he was miserable. But when he came in contact with devotee, he became most happy. Niranjan Maharaj was telling this story in Rathayatra in Nigadi, that how even a non-devotee can experience bliss and experience happiness by simply coming in contact with devotee for 1 second also. He was saying he was flying from one city in America to another city, and because he was a frequent flyer for preaching, he was upgraded in the business class. And one businessman came and sat next to him. And this businessman, you know, he saw, he was a very disturbed businessman. And he told, "Can I say something to you?" Maharaj said, "No problem, say." And this man said, "Your sweater does not suit your cloth." That means you see that people are disturbed even by small things. They can't be satisfied. He wanted to say that because he was disturbed. The person was wearing that, he was not disturbed. So Maharaj simply smiled, "Oh, I didn't notice about it." And after some time, this man again asked, "What do you do? Who are you?" So Maharaj said, "No, I am such and such person. I am a member of International Society for Krishna Consciousness." He spoke 5 minutes introduction he gave. And this person started speaking about himself. He said, "He is a very rich businessman. He works with computers. He had made so much of money. He has got wife, he has got kids." Then slowly started speaking about his miseries. Then again he started speaking why he is miserable. Then he started talking about his private life, which is causing him misery. And then he suddenly stopped. And he was looking at the sky outside the plane. And then he again looked back to Niranjan Maharaj and said, "Why did I say all these things to you?" He said, "You are not my friend. You are not my relative. Why did I reveal all my secrets to you? Why did I say this?" Maharaj said, "I don't know why you said to me." Then again he looked back in the sky. After 2 minutes, then he punched on his palm. He said, "Now I know why did I say this to you. Because you are most happy person. You don't have wife, you don't have children, you have nothing, but still you are happy. And I have everything, I am not happy. How is this?" And how did Niranjan Maharaj tell him? He said, "Because he began by saying about Srila Prabhupada. Just because I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, I became most happy. And he spoke about Bhagavad Gita. And this man said, I know the value of everything. All my wealth could not give me happiness. Therefore, whatever money you charge, I want this book. Please give me this book. So the point is, when somebody comes in contact with the devotee, without even intention of understanding spirituality, he can see it. He can see that devotee is most happy. So therefore, if a devotee is miserable, that means there is something wrong, he being a devotee. One Prabhupada disciple told me his story of how he became a devotee. He met two devotees. And meeting one devotee, he decided that I will never join ISKCON. One time in Canada, I think he was traveling around, and he saw one devotee distributing some incense sticks and some magazines or pamphlets. And he saw, and he said, what do you do? And he was quite miserable. He offered him a pamphlet, and he offered him a dry roti. He said, this is what you eat for your life? He said, yes, this is what I eat. And he was looking very miserable. He did not take the book, and he said, one thing I will never do in my life is that I will never associate with you guys, because you are such a miserable species. After some days, he went back to America, and he was selling candles for a young boy who was making his own money. And right next to his candle stall, there was this very blissful devotee. He was singing and dancing. And that was Vishnujan Maharaj. And first day by seeing him, he became so happy. You know, he spontaneously, on his own, he purchased Sri Isha Upanishad. And after the third day, he joined his van, shaved his head, became full-time devotee, and is still serving Srila Prabhupada. So just see, when a devotee excludes that happiness by practice of devotional service, he can change. And that's what Rupa Goswami explains, that serving such a devotee of the Lord or seeing him, all the miseries are eradicated. Therefore, Krishna is addressed here as the enemy of the miseries of his devotees. Krishna eradicates all the miseries. And next, Rupa Goswami quotes another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto. This is quoted by Parikshit Maharaj. When Sukadeva Goswami arrived on the bank of Ganga, wherein Parikshit Maharaj was about to face imminent death within 7 days. That's a big disaster, that within 7 days he would be killed. And he wanted to ask this question, what one is supposed to do, one is facing death within 7 days. And there he sees Sukadeva Goswami come. And by seeing Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj starts offering prayers. And one of the prayers he says, that simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you and washing your feet and offering a seat in our home. There is a gradation. That simply by remembering such a pure devotee, one becomes purified. And what to speak of seeing and touching. And what to speak of actually rendering service to such a devotee. A sincere devotee tries to get maximum benefit of the association of a pure devotee. Sometimes it is said that if when you come in contact with the pure devotee, then instantly you are purified. So one might ask, then why there is a need to associate more with him? No, more association gives more benefit. So Parikshit Maharaj doesn't say, okay, simply I remember you, I don't serve you, because by remembering you, I get so much of benefit. No, he goes beyond that. If remembrance can give so much a benefit, what to speak of rendering service to you? And how did Parikshit Maharaj render service to Sukadeva Goswami? For 7 days, he inspired Sukadeva Goswami to speak Harikatha. He was so eager to hear, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami, first time in his life, he spoke Harikatha. Why? Because the audience, the hearer was very receptive. and he spoke for 7 continuous days. And because he heard so much from Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, simply by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami, he already came out of the bodily concept of life. And therefore Sukadeva Goswami did not wait for Parikshit to depart from a gross body. He disappeared from there. He went back. So the point is that the association of pure devotees is so great that it elevates one. And ultimately Rupa Goswami concludes from the Adi Puran, this is the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, anyone who says that, he is telling this to Arjun, anyone who says that I am Krishna's devotee, he says he is not my devotee. But one who says that I am a devotee of a devotee, then he is my devotee. One time in Calcutta, Prabhupada had to visit one life member. Srila Prabhupada went with some disciples, and when they approached that place, the house was closed from inside, and the disciples started knocking, and the servant came out. So this servant, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, they asked, where is your master? He said, he's performing puja. And the disciple said, you tell your master that Srila Prabhupada has come. And the servant went inside, he gave the message, and the message was given back to him that, tell Swamiji that I am doing my puja. And the man came out, and he told, Srila Prabhupada is doing puja. And Prabhupada said, this is Kanishta. He does not understand the value of a devotee. That he thinks that his deity, his statue is more important than devotees. What can he see God in the deity? It's not that Prabhupada was thinking himself as a pure devotee, but he was talking about the principle. When a pure devotee comes, in fact, Shastra's injunction is that, even though when you are offering puja to the Lord, and suddenly a devotee appears in the temple, and there is no one to greet him, there are no other devotees to greet him, then one should stop the worship. One should say to the Lord that, here is a devotee, first I will go and greet him. Go and greet that devotee and make him comfortable, and then come back and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the injunction in the Shastra. Therefore, approaching the Lord without worshipping a devotee, Krishna does not accept that worship. So when we offer worship to the Lord, the system has been created by the Lord himself. One does not directly offer aarti to Krishna. That is the difference between temple which is coming from a parampara system. You don't find in the temple where there is a parampara system only Krishna or only Radharani. There is a whole, there is complete parampara involves Krishna is there, his energies are there, parampara system is there, guru is there. The whole altar gives us the facilities to approach Krishna through the spiritual master. So when we offer aarti to Krishna, we go through, we take blessing of a spiritual master. In fact, Janani Vastu was mentioning, even though when you cook for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, don't ever think that because you have cooked, Krishna will accept it. Then it goes through the spiritual master. He checks the offering. First of all, on the gross level, if it is burned, if it is not properly cooked, then that offering is rejected. And then he sees the consciousness, in what consciousness the item is cooked. If there is a wrong, burnt consciousness, then that is also rejected. So in this way, everything is monitored by our spiritual master. Then he gives it to his spiritual master. In this way, it goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Seeing in a negative way. In a positive way, it is very important that when we offer it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through a devotee, even though there are contamination, because a devotee wants to push us in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So devotee says, even though there are some problems, Krishna, please accept it. So when Krishna petitions on our behalf, even though the offering is not qualified to be offered, because a devotee of the Lord is petitioning, then Krishna accepts it. Like Srila Prabhupada explained during Radhastami lecture, that if you directly approach Krishna, Krishna will not accept you. But Radharani says, here is one rascal, you please accept him. So because Radharani says, Prabhupada said, then Krishna will accept him. And all the pure devotees of the Lord, they are representative of Srimati Radharani or Nityananda Prabhu. So when they petition, they make our offering pure, and if there are impurities, if they see the sincerity, they push us. Okay, please Krishna accept it. So therefore here, Lord himself is saying that anyone who claims that I am a devotee of the Lord, he is not my devotee. Only one who says that I am a devotee of the devotee, then he is a devotee. Therefore, bhakti can only be practiced, bhakti bonds only in the association of devotees. Without association of devotees, bhakti cannot come. Because a Supreme Personality of Godhead is carried in the heart of a pure devotee. We discussed this before also. Even one may have the sukriti, previous bhakti onmukha sukriti one may have, but unless he comes in contact with the devotee, that sukriti does not take, you know, active role. Just like matchbox and matchstick. You have a stick with that fiery element. That simple stick cannot on its own create a fire. So that element of fire is like our sukriti. And that matchbox, which helps us to make a fire, is like a connection with the devotee. When we strike that matchstick on the box, then the fire comes. So similarly, even though there is a sukriti, that sukriti is not manifested unless one comes in contact with the devotee. Therefore, bhakti can only be manifested, bhakti can only be born when we come in contact with a pure devotee. Not because of our pious credit. Yeah, it may be there, but it is not so important. Devotee of the Lord, he gives the credit, he creates the fire, and he allows it to be lit. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes devotees would ask, Srila Prabhupada, what is our qualification that we are practicing devotional service? Prabhupada said, you have no qualification. I created your qualification. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say, anyone who thinks that I can advance in spiritual life on my own, that means he's in hallucination. One has to practice devotional service by rendering service to a Vaishnava. And it doesn't matter. Don't look for a pure devotee. Because we are not pure devotees. How can we understand who is pure devotee? Anybody is a Vaishnava rendering service to him without analyzing how pure is this person. I don't know, is he really a pure devotee? No, rendering service to any devotee of the Lord, of course, as we render service to any devotee, then we will be fortunate to render service to pure devotees also. Therefore, the principle is that keeping as many devotees between Krishna and ourselves, as many numbers of devotees are there between us and Krishna, that much it is better. Not that we push all the devotees aside and we want to directly approach Krishna. That is not bhakti. That is contrary to the principle of devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami explains about observing festivals for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, Srila Prabhupada explains, anyone who observes festival for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world, Krishna reciprocates by observing his festival in the spiritual world. That means Krishna is observing the festival of a devotee who observes Krishna's festival. Simple example. And one of the patrons of Radharas Bihari, in the early days, he was helping Srila Prabhupada build, you know, residential quarters for devotees. And Prabhupada came to visit. And when Prabhupada saw that this devotee very eagerly, enthusiastically building staying quarters for devotees, he said, Just like you are building quarters for devotees, as you are building up the bricks, as you are laying the bricks and cement, similarly Krishna is building a house for you in the spiritual world. That was not simply a compliment. It was not simply an encouragement. That was shastric. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord, Rupa Goswami quotes, he prays to the Supreme Lord, "My dear Lord, let us know when did you take birth in the womb of Mother Devaki. Oh my dear Lord Janardhan, let me know when did you take birth in the womb of Mother Devaki so that we can celebrate your appearance day." And when a devotee celebrates the appearance day of the Lord, what does Krishna do? He frees him from the embarrassment of going through birth, old age, disease and death. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that story is there. When Krishna's friend went back to the spiritual world, there was a celebration. And Krishna was the main organizer. All the cowherd boys were there. And Krishna celebrated the coming of his devotee. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he said, in our society, if there is a temple, there should be everyday festival. Every day there should be a festival. And in this way, we can attract so many people. If you read Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada talks about so many festivals. He was talking about one festival, which we have not done. It was in Los Angeles. He said that you can keep some curd, and then you can keep the deity of Krishna and Yashoda churning the butter. And he said, let all the devotees come, and the guests can come in the temple, and everybody can churn for some time. Keep churning the butter. In this way, they can perform this festival. Prabhupada talked about Pushyabhishek festival, which we are going to celebrate within few days. He said, during Pushyabhishek, he said, you abundantly decorate Krishna with flowers. So we follow extra, that we offer Abhishek of flowers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada made International Society for Krishna Consciousness very attractive by creating so many festivals. In fact, he created Vrindavan Mayapur festival every year. He invited all the devotees from all over the world. And one devotee complained, Srila Prabhupada, why spend so much of money? Hundreds of devotees coming from the Western world, spending so much of money, what is the utility? Because Prabhupada knew these festivals are very important. Because it gives the glimpse about what it is there in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, it is only festival of Krishna. So therefore, performing or observing different days of Krishna, it gives us chance to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rupa Goswami quotes this, that one has to perform, one has to celebrate the festival of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And next item, Rupa Goswami speaks about serving the deity with great devotion. It is said in the Adi Puran, a person is constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and who feels transcendental pleasure, being engaged in devotional service, is certainly awarded the facilities of devotional service and is never given just mukti. And this we will discuss in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Dr. Ben. Yeah.
Can a non-devotee grow tulsi but not offer worship? Is that still considered devotional service?
Yeah, indirectly. That's what Prabhupada is explaining in this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That even in non-Vaishnava families, as far as my experience goes, you know, we never practice any Vaishnava principles. But I remember from our childhood, you know, it was unconsciously we made to worship Tulsi. We would offer obeisances to Tulsi, and every year during Kartik, we didn't even know what is Kartik. But I remember during Kartik, you know, we would offer lamps to Tulsi. We would perform some special puja to Tulsi. It's a common practice in India especially that even those who are not born in Vaishnava family, they will render service to Tulsi. So indirectly, they are serving a pure devotee of the Lord. They may not know the philosophy, but still they are forced to render devotional service. That is the power of Vedic culture. That you are forced to practice devotional service. There is a temple of Lakshmi Narayan. In any village if you go, there will be a temple of Lakshmi Narayan. There will be a beautiful, big, you know, it's called as Tulsi. The whole thing which is made of brick or cow dung or clay. They call it Tulsi only, and there is a Tulsi plant. And people will circumambulate Tulsi plant. And what does Shastra say? Anyone who circumambulates Tulsi plant, even if he is killed or Brahman, he is freed from sinful activities. He may not know that. So therefore, Vedic culture, consciously or unconsciously, directly or indirectly, from the perspective of people, it gives them chance to render devotional service. And what to speak of when you come to know about the importance of Tulsi. Like we have one Brahmachari. He is born in Vaishnava family. So his mother every day, she would offer Tulsi. You know, some puja, she would chant some nice prayers. And he would hear those prayers. He actually learned those prayers. But he could never understand what is the meaning of those prayers. Only when he became a devotee, then he started understanding, realizing, oh my God, my mother was giving me chance to render service to Tulsi. And the poem was talking about pure devotional service. So therefore, it is so important that one is given. And unfortunately, so-called, one Indian sadhu only made this comment. What is the utility of growing Tulsi plant? Why not grow bangan, brinjal? Just even though he is a sadhu, but he is still on the bodily concept of life. That why waste so much of land by growing Tulsi? We don't have to discuss how much benefit one gets. Even from a material point of view, growing up Tulsi, but Prabhupada never allowed us. Prabhupada would not talk about, because the benefits are so high, the spiritual benefits are so high, one does not care also about the material benefits. So yes, any principle, the 64 items of devotional service, anyone has, what to speak of Vaishnava culture, even in the non-Vaishnava culture also, even in the West, wherever there are some principle of, you know, religion, you are forced to render service to great people, take the holy water. That is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not make spirituality very difficult. Sometimes people consider that practicing religion, practicing spirituality is a very complicated one. Not everyone can practice, you know, very few people can practice. That is our perspective. What is Krishna's perspective? It is readily available for everyone. Even if you bump in. Just like during this 31st December, we are celebrating the New Year's Eve. And some students were walking without knowing what to do, how to spend their night. And they heard some music, so many young people. They said, let us see what's happening there. They came inside. They enjoyed kirtan, they enjoyed prasad, they enjoyed talk, they enjoyed dancing. So sometimes you bump in devotional service. So that's how those who didn't know the knowledge of devotional service, they bumped into Krishna consciousness. You know, most of us in our childhood days. But Prabhupada gave the, you know, proper understanding which we can carry forward for many years and give it to others also. So yes, there is so much of benefit, even a non-Vaishnava worship Tulsi. Yes? Speak.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. In places where people like some yogis, non-specific, non-devotees, maybe even nihilists, they offer remedial benefits of Tulsi, like mixing it with this, mixing it with that, and sometimes with things which, I mean, are not so pleasing to hear. I mean, is it okay to use the Tulsi? What should be our position? I mean, we are certainly not using it, but what should be our reactions to such people? I mean, in our hearts at least, what should we consider that?
I have asked this question to some senior devotees. According to them, we can only use offered Tulsi rather than just, you know, plucking Tulsi, because she's meant to be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to make this body physically fit for further implicating ourselves in material activities. So somebody is plucking tulsi, that is a sin, and using that tulsi to get better and use this machine when it is better in the sense gratification, it's a bit complex thing. So therefore a devotee of the Lord can use it and help others also use by using the offered tulsi. That is the understanding. But we cannot make tulsi as the simply medicinal herb to, you know, that means we are minimizing her value. Because tulsi, what she can offer us freedom from birth, old age, disease and death. She can offer us prema bhakti. You know, just to stop our nose running, that's a low consciousness.
Because in one place, one of my relatives, they offer it to the Lord, keep it in achmani, and then they use it for putting in tea, or sometimes they mix it with cow urine. Is it okay? Some of them.
Like one devotee said, you know, much beyond this, there was one person, he would offer tulsi in his whiskey. He said, I do everything spiritually. When he would drink whiskey, he would offer tulsi in the whiskey. Huh? You can imagine. So again, a devotee and a non-devotee does it. Whatever non-devotee does it, it is wrong. Therefore, if it is given proper understanding, that why not offer it to Krishna? Let it come on the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then if you want to use it, first principle is that they should understand this. Otherwise, if you grow tulsi only for the medical purpose, as far as we understand, we never knew this one. You only worship tulsi because she would offer some religious benefit. We didn't know about devotional benefit, but religious benefit. You know, people would take part in tulsi vivaha. You know, they would actually go around tulsi before going to school 3 times, offer obeisance to her. This was common practice. So that is the most important benefit. So we'll stop here. The altar is getting open. Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.